Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Yevamos Dav Chav Vav. The end of the second parak Ketzad, and the beginning of the third parak Arba Achim. The second parak has been generously sponsored for the Hatzlacha of Avadya ben Leah and his family. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the next Mishnah states, V'kulam, and all of them referring to the Chacham who did not release a wife from her netter, the Shaliach who brought a get from Medinas Hayam, and the witness to a man's death, Shayu Lehem Nashim V'mesu Mutarsu Nasi Lehem. If they had wives at the time, and the wives later died, they're permitted to marry the woman whose case they were involved in. Rashi explains that there's no reason to be suspect that they had ulterior motives since they were married at the time. The Gemara says that this implies that if they had divorced their wives, then they would not be permitted to marry these women, for people would say that they divorced their wives in order to marry them. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi that this contradicts the Braisa that taught that they could marry these women even if they divorced their wives. The Gemara answers that the Braisa's case, which permits him to marry, is the Havi Katata, where there is already a conflict in the marriage prior to the incident. Alternatively, the Mishnah's case that forbids him to marry was the Argalhu, where it was the husband who began fighting with his wife. Since he's the cause of the divorce, people will say he did so with the intent to marry the woman. Point number two, the Mishnah state of a kulan, mutaros livnem olachem. And all these women are permitted to the sons and brothers of these men who were involved in freeing them. The Gemara asks why this is different from what was taught in the Braisa, that if one is the subject of rumors that he was with a certain woman, then he's forbidden to marry her mother, her daughter, or her sister. Or she explains that the Rabbanim were concerned that if he marries one of these relatives of the woman, he would be in close proximity to her and come to have relations with her, which would be a violation now of a Deraisa. Why is there not an equal concern when letting the woman marry the man's relative? The Gemara answers that it's common for a woman to go and visit other women, and therefore, the concern is that the man will have an illicit relationship while the woman visits his wife. It is not common, however, for men to go visit other men. Alternatively, since if a woman has relations with another woman's husband, it does not prohibit the husband to his wife, the Rabbanim were concerned that the wife might not do anything to prevent the relationship since she's not at risk of losing her husband. A husband, though, would never let his wife be involved in an illicit relationship since it would forbid him to her. And pointing with you, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, in the case of three sisters married to three brothers, and they fall for yibum to two brothers-in-law, one brother does chalitza with one of the sisters, the other brother does chalitza to another one of the sisters, and the middle sister, the third one, requires chalitza from both brothers. Rabba said to Rabba Bar Rav Huna that since you said that the middle sister requires chalitza from both brothers, it's evident that you hold that there is zika. Bahavila chalitza pasula, and this chalitza is a chalitza pasula. Rashi explains that a chalitza pasula is where the brother is not permitted to do yibum and forced to do chalitza, such as this case, where the yavama is the sister of the chalitza. Since it's a chalitza pasula, the yavama requires a chalitza from all the brothers, since this type of chalitza does not have the strength to sever the zika from all the brothers at once. The Gemara will analyze this ruling and bring a conflicting opinion. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, V'kulam, and all of them, referring to the chacham who did not release a wife from her netter, the shaliach who brought a get from Medinas Hayam, and the witness to a man's death, shayilim nashim umesu mutarzli nasilahem. If they had wives at the time, and the wives later died, they're permitted to marry the woman whose case they were involved in. Rashi explains that there's no reason to be suspect that they had ulterior motives since they were married at the time. The Gemara says that this implies that if they had divorced their wives, then they would not be permitted to marry these women, for people would say that they divorced their wives in order to marry them. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi that this contradicts the Braisa that taught that they could marry these women even if they divorced their wives. The Gemara answers that the Braisa's case, which permits him to marry, is the Havi Katata, where there is already a conflict in the marriage prior to the incident. Alternatively, the Mishnah's case that forbids him to marry was the Argalhu, where it was the husband who began fighting with his wife. Since he's the cause of the divorce, people will say he did so with the intent to marry the woman. Point number two, the Mishnah state of a kulan, mutaros livnem olachem. And all these women are permitted to the sons and brothers of these men who were involved in freeing them. The Gemara asks why this is different from what was taught in the Braisa, that if one is the subject of rumors that he was with a certain woman, then he's forbidden to marry her mother, her daughter, or her sister. Rashi explains that the Rabbanim were concerned that if he marries one of these relatives of the woman, he would be in close proximity to her and come to have relations with her, which would be a violation now of a Deraisa. Why is there not an equal concern when letting the woman marry the man's relative? The Gemara answers that it's common for a woman to go and visit other women, and therefore, the concern is that the man will have an illicit relationship while the woman visits his wife. It is not common, however, for men to go visit other men. Alternatively, since if a woman has relations with another woman's husband, it does not prohibit the husband to his wife, the Rabbanim were concerned that the wife might not do anything to prevent the relationship since she's not at risk of losing her husband. A husband, though, would never let his wife be involved in an illicit relationship since it would forbid him to her. And point number three, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, in the case of three sisters married to three brothers, and they fall for yibum to two brothers-in-law, one brother does chalitza with one of the sisters, the other brother does chalitza to another one of the sisters, and the middle sister, the third one, requires chalitza from both brothers. Rabba said to Rabba Bar Rav Huna that since you said that the middle sister requires chalitza from both brothers, it's evident that you hold that there is zika. Bahavila chalitza pasula, and this chalitza is a chalitza pasula. Rashi explains that a chalitza pasula is where the brother is not permitted to do yibum and forced to do chalitza, such as this case, where the yavama is the sister of the chalitza. Since it's a chalitza pasula, the yavama requires a chalitza from all the brothers, since this type of chalitza does not have the strength to sever the zika from all the brothers at once. The Gemara will analyze this ruling and bring a conflicting opinion. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chav Vav, and our standard siman is a military coup. A military coup, so here goes. The soldier who testified that his friend died in the military coup and then married the wife after his own wife died met up with a comrade whose testimony freed up a woman to marry his son. And they had a grand old time discussing the sugya of chalitza pasula. Once again, it's a motion. The soldier who testified that his friend died in the military coup, that must mean we're on Daf Chavav. The soldier who testified that his friend died in the military coup and then married the wife after his own wife died, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states Vakulam, and all of them referring to the Chacham, who did not release a wife from her neder, the Shliach who brought a get from Medinas Yam, and the witness to a man's death, Sheyulam Nashim Mesu Mutarzli Nasilehem. If they had wives at the time and the wives later died, they're permitted to marry the woman whose case they were involved in. Rashi explains that there's no reason to be suspect that they had ulterior motives since they were married at the time. The Gemara clarifies that in certain situations, even after he divorces his wife, one is permitted to marry these women. So, the soldier who testified that his friend died in the military coup and then married the wife after his own wife died met up with a comrade whose testimony freed up a woman to marry his son. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, V'kulan mutaris livnen olachem. And all these women are permitted to the sons and brothers of these men who were involved in freeing them. The Gemara explains why this is different from what is taught in a Braisa, that if one is the subject of rumors that he was with a certain woman, that he's forbidden to her mother, her daughter, or her sister. So the soldier who testified that his friends died in the military coup and then married the wife after his own wife died met up with a comrade whose testimony freed up a woman to marry his son. And they had a grand old time discussing the sugya of chalitza pasula, which reminds us that a chalitza pasula is where the brother is not permitted to do yibum and forced to do chalitza, such as in the case where the yavama is the sister of the yavam's chalitza. Since it's a chalitza pasula, the yavama requires a chalitza from all the brothers, since this type of chalitza does not have the strength to sever the zika from all the brothers at once. So once again, the soldier who testified that his friend died in the military coup and then married the wife after his own wife died met up with a comrade whose testimony freed up a woman to marry his son. And they had a grand old time discussing the sugya of chalitza pasula. All right, now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Chav Beis. So the sim Daf Chav Beis is a cab. So here goes. The ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab. Cab, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Beis. The ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab, which reminds us the Rabbanim were not gozer shnios for a ger. And the only reason the Rabbanim prohibited an erva is that people should not say, b'ayim kedusha chamura or kedusha kala. The gerim come from a strict level of kedusha, being that non-Jews are prohibited to their non-Jewish mother, and now they come to a lesser level of kedusha, as they are now permitted to marry their non-Jewish mother. So, the ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab, driven by a mamzer brother, which reminds us a mamzer brother is zokek his brother's wife to yibum, and a mamzer son exempts his father's wife from yibum. The source that a mamzer qualifies as a son is learned from the pasuk uven einlo, and he has no son. Since the word ein is written with a yud, it implies ein alav, examine him, which Rashi explains to mean that one should see if he has any type of son, even a mamzer. So the ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab, driven by a mamzer brother who just let out a bala ochoso passenger whom he charged twice, which reminds us, it's a malchus bin Rabbi Yosef bin Yehuda and the Chachamim whether a bala ochoso, one who has relations with his sister, who's the daughter of his father's wife, whether he's chayv once or twice, given two psukim that discuss relations with his sister. Daf Chav Gimel, so the sim of Daf Chav Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. It was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition. Kugelach, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Gimel. It was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition when a man's two daughters, one from a Shivcha and the other from a Nachris, which reminds us, the Gemara asks what Rabbi Yossi does with the Pasuk, Isha b'yeladeh tiyelah adoneh, and answers that one Pasuk excludes the daughter of a Shivcha and the other excludes the daughter of a Gentile, and both are needed. If the Torah only taught the case of a Shivcha, one would think her daughter is excluded, mishum dein lachayis, because she has no yichus in family relationships, whereas a Gentile woman does have yichus in her relationships, and if the Torah had only taught the case of a Gentile woman, one would think her daughter is excluded because she is not shaykh to mitzvahs, but the daughter of a shivcha would be included because she's shaykh to mitzvahs. So, it was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition when a man's two daughters, one from a shivcha and the other from a nachris, came to watch his Jewish grandson, whose father wasn't Jewish, which reminds us the pasuk states regarding the prohibition of intermarriage, ki yasir es bincha macharai, for he, referring to a Gentile father married to a Jewish woman, will turn your son away from me and they will serve other gods. From here we learn that a son from a Jewish woman is called bincha, your son, but a son from a Gentile woman is not called your son, but rather he's considered her son. The child follows the non-Jewish status of his mother. So, it was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition when a man's two daughters, one from a shivcha and the other from a nachris, came to watch his Jewish grandson, whose father wasn't Jewish, play against two surviving brothers of a man who hadn't remembered which one of two sisters he married, which reminds us, if one was Mekadosh one of two sisters, but does not know which one of them he was Mekadosh, and then he dies childless and has two brothers, Echad Chowetz ve'Echad Miyabim, one must do Chalitza to one of the sisters, and afterwards the other brother may take the other sister in Yibum. The Gemara clarifies the Mishnah coming to teach that the order must be that the first brother does Chalitza, and then the second one can do Yibum. And it cannot be that the first brother does Yibum to Kapaga ba'achus Zekukaso, for then he would be possibly violating the prohibition of marrying the sister of a Zekuka. Daf Chav Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Chav Dalet is a pitcher, a cud. So here goes. The Yaakov Moshim Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique pitcher collection, pitchers, that must be more in Daf Chav Dalet. The Yaakov Moshim Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique pitcher collection, which reminds us, it was taught in a brayso of the pasuk states, "V'hayah b'chor, and it shall be the firstborn." Mechan she mitzvah begadol yibum. From here we learn that it's a mitzvah for the eldest to do yibum. Yakum al shem achiv, he shall be established on the name of his brother, l'nachla, which refers to inheritance, which teaches that the one who does yibum inherits the entire estate of his brother. So the Yaakov Moshim Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique pitcher collection, was dismayed when he was told that he would not receive a double portion of his grandfather's collection destined for his father, which reminds us. The Gemara asks regarding what halacha did the Torah mention Bechor when it could have said that the eldest brother should preferably do Yibum. It answers that the term Bechor was written with Gerusa to diminish the Yavam's rights. Just as a Bechor does not take a double portion in his father's inheritance, which is still yet to come to the father, like the assets that are currently in the possession of a living grandfather, so to the Yavam who stands in the place of the deceased brother and takes a double portion in his father's estate, he does not take an extra portion in the father's assets, which are still yet to come, like the ones were already in the father's possession. So, the Yaakov Moshim Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique pitcher collection, was dismayed when he was told that he would not receive a double portion of his grandfather's collection destined for his father, and grew worried that his wife, who converted because of his anticipated wealth, would leave him. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether gerim that converted for an ulterior motive are considered legitimate gerim. Daf Chav Hei, so the sin Daf Chav Hei is a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. The couple celebrating 25 years of marriage. 25 years of marriage, a silver wedding anniversary? That must be more on Daf Chav Hei. The couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were counted before a day and a half had elapsed, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalet and Amabe state that if one was subject to rumors that he had relations with a married woman and Basin required the husband to divorce her, if the suspected adulterer married her, he must divorce her. The Gemara brought a Malchokas, where Rav held that the adulterer only divorces her when there were witnesses to the adultery, and Rebbe held he must divorce her even based on a mere rumor without witnesses. On this stuff, the Gemara says the halach is like each of them and explains that this is not a contradiction, but the distinction is whether there was a call of the pasik, a rumor that was stopped by a counter-rumor that denied the first one. Abai says that his adopted mother taught him that a kala de lo pasik, a rumor that was not stopped, is a rumor that endures for a day and a half. So, the couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were countered before a day and a half had elapsed, lost their appetite when the waiter testified to them that he killed a husband. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one testifies regarding a man that he died or I killed him or we killed him, he may not marry the dead man's wife. Which implies that while he may not marry the wife, others may marry her. The Gemara says the Mishnah can be explained in accordance with Rava, who rules Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Vein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. A person is considered related to himself, and therefore a person cannot disqualify himself from testifying by establishing himself as a Rasha. In effect, Pagim Dibura. We split his testimony, so the part regarding himself is not considered, but his testimony regarding the other is believed. So the couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were countered before a day and a half had elapsed lost their appetite when the waiter testified to them that he killed a husband who was a mumcha judge who had married a woman he released from a vow. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, HaChochem she'aser ze'ish ben neder abala har zelisa ena. A chochem who forbids a woman to her husband by not releasing her from a neder she made not to derive pleasure from him and he divorced her may not marry the woman. Even though a basin of three is required to release the woman from her vow, and in such a case the judge would not be suspect since he's acting as part of a basin, the Gemara explains that the case was with a single judge who was a yachid mumcha, an expert judge. In such a case, he may release her from the vow, and if he does not, then he is prohibited to marry her. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.